discouraged when no answer came. For I prayed for years and I still saw no change. I was ready to give up, thinking, what can I do? But when I prayed that last time, God's power broke through. And prayer is just as big as God is. Prayer is just as strong as God is strong. Prayer can reach as far as God can reach. Don't ever give up, just pray. Just pray. We have been given a means to the throne of the God whose potential is yet to be known. There is no limit as to what God can do. So just keep on praying. He's listening to you. Just as big as God is. Prayer is just as strong as God is strong. Prayer can reach as far as God can reach. Don't ever give up, just pray. Don't ever give up, don't ever.
Thank you, Jack. All right, did everybody get a handout tonight? You got the sheet we're doing. We are in still, just a reminder, we do have a Sunday school, our monthly Sunday school meeting right after the service, Sunday school teachers and workers in the chapel. And so I'll try to remember, put that right there at the end of the service to let you go first. We've been looking at Proverbs, and we've been looking, we haven't looked at this subject since last year. That was 2 weeks ago. Brother Chim actually preached last week, did a great job, preached on sowing and reaping in your lives. But we've been talking about the angry man. Now, I will say, of all the subjects in Proverbs we've dealt with, this is the one I've got the most reaction from. People saying things like, hey, you know, this is good. It's like, trust me, like I said, those speakers are for you, but I got three of them coming right back at me, okay? And so it's just something we have to deal with. And just because you got upset one time doesn't make you an angry person. But we need to watch it so that it doesn't creep in our life because, again, of the many things we've said. We already know what the key to Proverbs is. He wants us to get wisdom, make that the principal thing. Now, just by way of brief review, we have said anger itself is not a sin. By the way, there are some things you should get upset about, but not out of control. You can be upset and not be out of control, okay? And so we've talked a lot about that. Ephesians does tell us, be ye angry and sin not. A lot of us just wish it would have stopped at the first three words, right? Be ye angry. Say, man, I obey that Bible verse all the time. There's always a catch to everything, right? And sin not. It's like, oh, man. Yeah, you got to behave ourselves. Remember, we also said that, and the reason it's important, constant anger is a sign of an immature Christian. The opposite of anger, one of the opposites of anger would be patience. And the verse there in the book of James tells us that God brings trials and things into our life for the specific purpose of teaching us patience. Because patience makes us, the verse is there in James, you may not have that verse, we looked at it, James 4, we want patience to have a perfect work that we may be perfect or mature. And so when we struggle with anger and we get out of control with anger, that's a sign to us that our maturity level is not where it should be as a Christian. And that's God's warning to us. Just by way of review, we'll read these. We said, number one, the angry man handles the situations of life just like a fool would. Not that he's a fool, but sometimes people that are not fools can act in certain areas foolishly. Number two, an angry man will create and increase problems for all those whom he is around. Number three, an angry man is always getting himself into trouble. Number four, helping an angry man with his problems without getting to the root is a waste of time. And that's really a key for all of us. Get to the root of the problem. The best way to deal with the fruit is to get rid of the root. Then you have no more fruit. What'd you just say? I have no idea. Number five, an angry person is someone you do not want to be close friends with or spend time with. Now, these last ones, I apologize. Last time we met, we didn't have a handout. I forgot to turn that in. So here they are. You can just have those for your notes. An angry man reproduces himself those whom he hangs around with. We become like an angry person if we hang around with an angry person. Number seven, an angry person's lack of self-control makes them defenseless from all kinds of destructive influences. Why? Because a person that struggles with anger has no self-control. And when you have no self-control, you're susceptible to all kinds of sinful influence. Number eight, an angry man uplifts and abounds in that which is wrong and sinful. Number nine, an angry man will not make an attempt to hide his anger. And then number 10, an angry man lacks understanding. Now, I told you we weren't just going to slam the angry man. We're actually going to try to give you some helps, okay? Let me give you some helps tonight in overcoming your anger. How can we overcome it? By the way, we have to overcome it. Now, the biggest key, I will say this, I'll give you some suggestions, some things to watch for. The biggest key is what we probably won't get to tonight, we'll get to next time. And if we do that, it'll wipe it out. But there are some keys. Number one, we've alluded to this in past lessons. Never allow yourself to react in anger. Never allow yourself to react in anger. Proverbs 15:18 says, a wrathful, mad or angry man, stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. There are two ways to handle the problems here. The man who is an angry man, when he gets angry, he reacts. So therefore, whatever the situation is, he stirs it up and makes it worse because he's reacting to the situation. When you react to something, you are typically out of control, okay? You're just, the first thing that comes to our mind usually is the wrong thing. Someone is mean to you. Someone cuts in front of you. Someone says something to you. That first thing that bubbles up is usually the flesh, and that's the thing you want to avoid. But when we just react. That's just the first thing that, wham, and that makes the situation work. Have you ever been in a situation, don't raise your hands, because all of us would, and in the situation, you said something. And as soon as you said it, as soon as the words were out of your mouth, you said in your mind, oops, that just made it worse, okay? I would put my both hands and both feet up if I could, but I'd fall. And it's like, you can't take it back, because what happens? You reacted. But he says here, he that is slow to anger appeaseth wrath. He doesn't react to the situation, okay? He thinks about it, and then he acts. Look at the little points underneath the A, B, and C to help us to understand it. If you are, letter A, to do this, you must first see it for what it is. Destructive. Anger is destructive. It's not a personality trait. It's not just a minor flaw in your life. It's not just a result of your upbringing. It's not just who you are or how you handle things. You have to stop and see it for what it is. It is destructive. If you don't see it for that, then you will never have the motivation to work on it. If you're angry, if you get angry and out of control in every little situation, you are destroying. You're destroying all kinds of things, relationships. You can destroy other people. If you're a parent, you can destroy your children. If you're married, you can destroy your marriage. You have to see it for that, okay? See it for what it really is. Letter B, next, you must fight the urge to use excuses. Most people are willing to continue as they are and not work on things that are wrong in their life if they feel they have an excuse for what they're doing. By the way, why would you want an excuse? Because your actions, not only do they hurt others, but big time, they're going to hurt you and be destructive in your life. And so when you make excuses for it, yes, you're hurting others, but you're hurting yourself. Don't make excuses. Well, that's just how I am. We get mad at somebody. Well, they were wrong. Okay, and maybe they were wrong, but there's still a way to handle it that's right. I'm justified because of this situation or that situation. By the way, don't allow other people's actions to determine your attitude. Don't do that. I've told a story. I'm not going to tell this story again. I'm not going through it, but a guy I work with, and someone was doing something at work, and we were in Bible college, and they were trying to get him in trouble, and as we were driving home, I just said, doesn't that make you mad that they're purposely trying to get you in trouble? Don't you just want to, you know, forget you're a Christian for a few minutes and take them outside? And I was just joking around with them, and he said something very profound. He goes, Steve, I decided a long time ago I'm not going to let anybody steal my joy. I'm like, wow, I was just messing around, but that's good. What he said is, I'm not going to allow their actions to determine my actions. And when we excuse our anger on what other people are doing, what we are doing, we are allowing them to put us in a bad situation, and really, we're not allowing them. We're allowing ourselves excuse to do it. Let's not do that. Then letter C, never allow yourself to just react, think before, and then act. That's really what the verse is saying. The angry man doesn't think, he just reacts. The wise person thinks, keeps their emotions under control, and then reacts. That helps the situation. Number two, we mentioned this already. Be careful whom you hang around with. We already saw that. Now, we use the backside of the verse, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. And the next verse tells us that we become like them. So if we become like them, then what's the principle if we're going to work on our own anger? Okay? Be careful who you're around. Now, if you have an anger issue, and you look around at all your friends, and they don't have anger issues, two things. Number one, they haven't hung around with you long enough yet. And number two, maybe you're the problem. You know what they say, if Bill has a problem with Tom, and Bill has a problem with Sue, and Bill has a problem with Fred, the problem isn't the three people I mentioned, it's Bill, okay? He's the common denominator. But if you look around, and you have a lot of friends, and they have anger issues, I'm not saying bail out, I'm trying to get them help, don't hang around with them. It says, make no friendship with an angry man. Why? You're going to become like them. Or if you're not with them, around them long enough for you to become like them, you're going to be a partaker of the strife that they stir up, the problems that they cause. Why? Because you're with them. But if you don't want to be angry, by the way, and that's just a principle of life. Choose friends that you would want to be like. Now, I understand all of us, there's people maybe as we're more mature Christians and they're new in the Lord and we're trying to help them and they're trying to be around new Christians. I'm not talking about that, but I'm just talking about be careful who you're around. Your closest friends, your confidants ought to be people that maybe spur you to be a better person, to be a better Christian. Okay? That's very, very important. And especially if you have an anger problem. Learn from people. Be around people. And don't hang around with somebody that is angry. Remember this. You cannot control how people influence you. You can only control who you allow to influence you. The choice is made in who you are hanging around with. But once you choose to hang around with them, the influence is automatic. So what's the principle? Choose whom you allow to influence you. Allow them to spur you on. Number three, we've already mentioned this, and we'll give you a little help with it later. You must learn some self-control. I put the word some in there. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls. Now, we're going to talk later about God helping us and how God can help us to overcome it. Okay? But let me say this. Self-control, I don't like that because whatever. But you do need to do something. We are not to the point, unless we've allowed sin to get in our life, where we cannot We allow ourselves just to do whatever we want. We've got to put some effort in. And if we don't put effort in, we cannot blame God if he doesn't do anything in our life. See, most people, when they struggle with something, here's how they pray. Lord, help me to overcome this. Help me to not do this. Or help me to do this. And then the thing they ask God to help them to do never happens. Or the thing they ask God to help them not to do, they still do. Or the thing they ask God to help them grow in, they don't grow. Why? That's half the equation. See, usually most people pray that, and then they never put any effort in on their own. God's just supposed to miraculously grab them by the hair and drag them and make them do what they're supposed to do. I heard someone preach a message one time, and the title sounds wrong, but the principle's true. God helps them who help themselves. In other words, if I'm trying to read my Bible every day this year, I say, Lord, help me to read my Bible every day this year, and I get up in the morning and I don't try to crack my Bible, I don't have a time to do it, I'm not going to read my Bible, and that's not God's fault. I've not put any effort in. But what happens is, as we strive to do that which is right, and we're praying and asking the Lord to help us, he gives us that strength to do the things we're supposed to do as we are seeking to do those things we are supposed to do. Okay? We're not some mechanical robot. And so we need to put some effort in and have a little self-control. If not, we are ultimately blaming God. We're no different than Adam. When God said, hey, what happened here? You sinned. He said, well, it was that woman, the one you gave me. Remember? You gave her to me? It wasn't God's fault. It's his fault. Be careful. You must learn some self-control. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city. He that hath no rule, control over his own spirit. Therefore, we can have some. Say, well, God's not working in my life. That's because we're not allowing him to. We're not putting in the effort that God can use to do something in our life. I hope you understand that. I'm trying to balance both sides of the fence. Number four, common sense. We've mentioned this. You must become a wise man. You must become a wise man. Now, I didn't say smart. After I dropped out of high school early, I decided I'd go to night school. I don't even know why I decided to go to night school. I already had my GED. My buddy was going to night school, and it just sounded like a good idea. Like, I'll get my diploma that way anyhow, even though I have a GED. And I went to night school, and I dropped out of night school too. But I went for about, I went with Ray Dowd. I don't know if you remember Ray Dowd. I went with him for about a month, and I'm like, this is stupid. I already have a GED. What am I doing? I dropped out. But I took some kind of psychology class or whatever, and the teacher was talking about your IQ. I don't know if you knew this, but you know, the different, like you call someone a moron, you shouldn't. You know, or a genius. I think genius is one of them, Mensa, and all these different ones, imbecile. Do you know, though, how many of you know, those are actually part of the IQ scale. How many of you knew that? If your IQ was in a certain range, the technical term for you is an imbecile. Now, I don't think anybody's that low in here, all right? And then there's the one above that, I think, is, you know, moron or whatever. And he was telling us that. Now, he said, when it comes to your IQ, you are what you are. You can't change it. In other words, he said, if you're a moron, you're not going to graduate to imbecile. When we're talking, that's encouraging, because most of us, we're not up in that Mensa level or genius level. You know what I'm saying? We're not Einsteins in here. I wish we had some. But that's encouraging, because, listen, to be successful in life has nothing to do with how smart you are. Some of the people that have the highest IQs, their life's a mess because they have no wisdom. That IQ, that intelligence, does not translate into life. Now, I knew a guy, I've mentioned many times, a guy on our bus ride, I met in Chicago on the bus route, and he had the whole book of Proverbs memorized, and he was an alcoholic out on the streets. I didn't believe it. I went up to him. I said, someone told me you got the book of Proverbs memorized. He goes, yeah, I do. I said, tell it to me. And he started right in the middle of the book and just went. I'm like, they were lying. So obviously he had the kind of memory he could memorize, and he was actually violating many of the verses he had memorized. So it's not intelligent. So when we're saying become a wise man, it has nothing to do with being smart. If I had to choose between having an IQ and a bad lifestyle and an anti-God lifestyle, or having a lower IQ and having wisdom, I'll take the lower IQ and the wisdom. Because wisdom is just simply the ability to get into that book and put into practice the principles God tells us, and we experience the success God has for us. Anybody can do that. Okay? God can help any of us to do it. Doesn't matter where we're at. It says, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. Great understanding, that's part of understanding and having wisdom. Exalting folly, that's someone that's closer to being a fool. I don't care how smart someone is. They're not smart enough to understand God is real and God's ways are better than man's ways. They're not very smart. It just seems in our society, and by the way, it's just, we're an anti-God society now. That's all there is to it. All there is to it. You can get up and say anything you want. You can't get up and say anything negative against anybody for their gender orientation, sexual orientation, religious orientation. You can't say anything. Even if you're just stating the truth, not trying to be negative, but anybody can get up and say something up against Christianity and it's okay. I was listening to a guy, quit listening to him. He was on the radio and he was talking about, he was a sports guy, and he started talking about something in life, and he made this comment. And by the way, if he made this comment about any other race or religion, he would have got fired. He said, child molesters are predominantly white Christian men. Number one, it's not true. If he would have said white Christian women, he may have got a little bit of slack because he used the word woman. If he would have said Muslim, atheist, he got fired. And if he would have used any other nationality, but Christian, no one cares. Now, I'm not a Mark Jackson fan. He got fired as the coach of the Warriors, and the next year they won the title. That kind of shows that maybe he wasn't as good a coach as they thought he was. And some guy got on, I just heard some guy got on radio or something and slammed him, not for being as good a coach as the coach they have now, but he blamed it on his Christianity and slammed him for being a Bible-thumping Christian. Nothing happened to him. Now, if he would have mentioned any other thing, he would have said, oh, he's a Muslim. That's why there's a problem. The guy would have got fired. Christianity is downplayed. By the way, that didn't used to be that. I was just reading a bunch of quotes today about what great men thought about the Bible. All of our founding fathers, from George Washington to Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, even those that weren't Christians, had nothing but positives to say about the Bible, what it taught, and its influence it had to have in our country. They were the intelligentsia of our day. They were the smart guys. Now, if you're a smart person, it's just you can't be smart and believe the Bible and be a Christian. Can I just tell you something? Wisdom is more important than anything. Okay, and we can all have wisdom. God wants us to be wise. And the wiser we are, the more we understand the principles of God's word, and the more we put them into practice in our life, the more we will step away from that angry man that's out of control. So that's why we spent many weeks to start on wisdom. Number five, don't always have to have your own way. Don't always have to have your own way. Okay? Hatred stirs up strifes, but love covereth all sins. Hatred stirs up problems. Love covers it. Why? Because love doesn't have to have its own way. When you're covering sin, you're putting the other person first. You're putting them first. You're putting them ahead of yourselves. Hatred stirring up strife. The Bible tells us only by pride comes contention or strife because we want our own way. But we stir it up because we're not getting what we want. Don't always have. If you always have to have your own way, you're no. Look. An adult who has an anger issue is no different than a little child that throws a temper tantrum. Why do they throw? Because I did not get what I want. Therefore, I am mad. I have to have my way. You see it. You've had little children in your home, or you have little children in your home. We've had them in our home, and we have grandkids now. They're little. And, you know, they won't even be playing with something. If someone comes in and starts playing with a toy, they're not even playing with it. They want it. It's mine. Okay? Got to have it. You know, adults, we're like that too sometimes. You ever see someone out of control publicly because they didn't get their way? I mentioned on Sunday, we actually, it's the first time in 15 years, the boys were at camp, so the girls, I took the girls to Disneyland, of all places. The busiest day, probably in their history. It wasn't a good idea. But we went. And we were going there, we were going to get on one of the rides, and there was a lady there, and the worker came up. I guess she had her off to the side because they were doing something. And the lady mentioned she was going to have to wait for a minute. And the lady that was sitting on the ride just started screaming at her at the top of her lungs. I hate you, you're out. I mean, she went off. She was unchained. She was unplugged. She was gone. And then the lady just said, ma'am, just stand right there. I'll be taken care of. You're yelling at me. You're yelling at me. The worker's like, no problem. I think I'll call security. She said something about security. Just like a two-year-old. She didn't hear what she wanted to hear, and she just snapped. We do that sometimes because we didn't have our own way. Maturity is learning patience. What's patience is, I don't have to always have mine own way. We don't stir up strifes to get our own way. Spouses, we all have to be careful of this because every spouse has a red button, right? There's that little button you can push that irritates them, that thing that you know gets to them. By the way, try to not have many of those, all right? If your spouse, that she goes to that little button, that you know, that little issue that irritates you, act calm on the inside like it doesn't bother you. Once they stop, go outside and kick the cat. Don't kick the cat. I'm serious. Go outside and kick the trash can. Okay? Don't let them know you did it, though. Say, that doesn't bother me at all. As soon as they leave, go outside, kick the trash can. Just kidding. Don't do that either. That little button, why? That'll help me get my way. I'll get you irritated, and I get my way. Adults are just like children, only we are better at it. And we hide it a little bit better sometimes. Anger is a epitome of selfishness. It's like a pity party for adults. It's a temper tantrum for adults. We don't throw ourselves in the ground and cry and flail away. We do it in other ways. So be very careful. Number six goes along with this. Find delight in avoiding confrontations. Proverbs 19:11. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. Wow. When we have discretion, we want to get angry in a situation that would cause a conflict. But what we do is we defer it. We hold it off. I'm not going to get mad right now. I'm not going to let it get to me. Why? It's his glory to pass over a transgression. I don't want to get in a confrontation here. So seek to try to not start confrontations. Now, all of us, if we're honest, we would all say we could be, if we wanted to, we could be pretty good at starting confrontations, right? We could all just do it. It's not hard. It is not hard at all. I mean, all of us could write a book. We need to get to the point, particularly if anger is a hard issue for us, where we see it in our mind like, I am not going to get in a confrontation. I am going to do everything I can to avoid it. Someone's trying to, you know, prod you. By the way, there are people like that, and you know what I'm talking about. You've either worked with one, hopefully you don't live with one, you were a friend with one, and I hope you're not the last category. You is one. Okay? I mean, they just always throwing little things out there to see if they can get under your skin. Now, that kind of person, I'll just be real honest with you. When I was in Bible college, I worked with a guy, and we went in a carpool, and that was his gift. It was not a spiritual gift, but if it was, he had it nailed. And he would always say little things. And I'll just be honest with you. One time, we were in the car, and there was one guy, good guy, but he would always get on him, and he knew it bothered this guy. And one time, they got out of the car after we got back to the college, and all I know is they were wrestling in the snow. And I'm thinking, he's just doing, to be honest with you, what I would like to do sometimes. I wouldn't mind just like, you know, just accidentally lose it for just one time and bang his head a little bit on the ground just a couple times. There was snow, so it wasn't like it was hard. But, you know, just look, you got to get to points like, I'm not going to let that bother me. And you can walk away, almost not like a game, but you can walk away and be pleased with yourself. You know what? I could have had an argument there, and I chose to let it go. You know? It's hard. I get it. A wise man sees a potential conflict coming. So what does he do? When he sees the conflict coming, what can I do to avoid it? Or in some cases, some people, if you can't get out of the way and you can't avoid it and they just have the control of it, what can I do to not react or be a part of it? I'll just let it go. Find delight in avoiding confrontations, because an angry person, they enjoy confrontation. They want it. Bring it on. You know, they're the guy that wanted to be a lawyer, never went to school for a lawyer, so he's gonna do it in his arguing. So, number 7, and we'll be done. So don't react to others' anger. Seek to diffuse it. You say, well, someone's coming after me, and they're angry. And they're not coming after me. By the way, if someone comes after you and they're trying to be physical with you, defend yourself. Okay? Well, the Bible says turn the other cheek. You only got 2. All right? Get one for free. I'm not saying you're like, I'm talking about verbal confrontation. They're coming out. Just, hey, look. What can I do to defuse this situation? There are some things you can do. Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous wounds stir up anger. Slothful men bring a city into a snare. Scornful men, I'm sorry, bring a city into a snare, but wise men turn away wrath. The wrath of a king is as a messenger's of death, but a wise man will pacify it. Okay? If someone does get angry, by the way, all you can control in any situation, there's 2 people. All you can do, you can only control 1 person in the situation. Who is it? Yourself. That's all you can do. So you can do everything, and you see it coming, maybe there's some things you can do to diffuse it. Do everything you can within your power. Don't just say, well, you know what? They came at me, they were angry, and they started it. What do you want me to do? Well, maybe you could have done some things to diffuse it. Well, they're wrong. Okay, we're not talking about if they're wrong. We're talking about you're trying to make sure that you don't lose your anger. There's several things you can do. A, Proverbs 51 tells us, using soft words. Soft words. What does that mean? We don't raise our voice. Say, how do you know that's true? I've done that. And I've also done the opposite, okay? So I can tell you from both ends of the scale, it's true. Someone's good. They're starting to lose it, and you just talk softer. You know, I'm sorry. Hey, what'd you do? You cut in front of me. You an idiot. Sorry, I didn't see you. That's kind of, unless a guy's really having a bad day, that's kind of hard to come back at. Say, well, you know, okay. Someone called me one time, was a family member, distant family member. They were upset about something. They just kept, you know, they were getting angry and they're yelling on the phone. And every time they would yell, I'd lower my voice, you know, yeah. And I'd point out something and it would calm them down. And then they'd start revving themselves back up. Just try to, that calm voice, trying to calm things down and not say anything to stir things up. Soft answer. Well, they're wrong at what they're saying. Okay, well, don't tell them they're right, but try to do what you can to diffuse the situation from your end. Why? Because we're going back to the other one. We're trying to find delight in avoiding confrontations. Letter B. Another way you can diffuse it is by listening to the emotion, not the words. Listening to emotions, not the words. Scornful men bring a city into a scare. Man, they're angry. They're just, their emotions are involved. You know, sometimes someone is upset and they're saying things that they don't even believe. They're just saying those words because they're upset. If you can control your emotions, think about not what they're saying, but the emotion behind it. Why are they saying that? Usually when someone, maybe sometimes people get upset about something and they're blowing it out of proportion, but there's that small little nugget of truth that they didn't control that someone was wrong and caused them to get upset in the first place. They're blowing it out of control. Hey, listen to emotion. You know, I understand why you're upset about that. See where they're coming from. See why they're saying what they're saying, not what they're saying. Find the root of the conflict. Don't listen to all the nonsense. Letter C, especially, Proverbs 16:14 tells us, if it is a situation where the person is a leader over you. Now, we don't have this. Obama thinks he's a king, but he can only do so much. The wrath of a king is as messengers of death. Okay? I mean, in North Korea, probably. But primarily in that time, if someone was in charge, king ruled. And he was upset with you, that could mean your head. You remember Joseph when he was in jail, and there were the two guys, there was a baker and the king's cupbearer. I forget which one got, you know, one of them, they were both in jail because the Pharaoh got upset. One of them, he got his job back, the other got his head cut off. I mean, that's just kind of how it was. The king was upset, it could mean death for you. It says, but a wise man will pacify it. By the way, Daniel was like that. We were talking about Daniel when King Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 2 had a dream. He asked the wise men to tell him the dream, and he was mad. They're all going to be killed. And Daniel wisely said, listen, give me a little time and I'll tell you what's going on. I'll take care of it, king. Okay? He pacified the king. Now, by the way, there was times that he didn't. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they tried to pacify King Nebuchadnezzar. They said, listen, we're not trying to be rude to you here. We're not going to be careful, but we ain't worshiping your image. If you want to throw us in the fire, go right ahead. Different situation. But you know, your boss, your boss is human. Sometimes he has a bad day. Maybe you can diffuse that. Okay? Not always. But we want to make sure if someone reacts incorrectly that it does not cause us or give us excuse in our own mind for us to act incorrectly. Wisdom says, I'm going to try to diffuse the situation. Let's pray.